at night.
Hello, cocktail lovers, and welcome to Paris Cocktail Talk, the show brought to you by the 52 Martinis Guide to Paris Cocktail Bars. I'm Forrest Collins, and I'm here to talk to you about cocktailing in the French capital and bring you other small batch spirits news from France and beyond. And this month, you might notice you get the extra special bonus of an extra show. We had a little technical difficulty in September, so we've got a second show popping up here this month for you, which is nothing but good, right? More Paris Cocktail Talk this month. And the topic for the month is one that I'm really excited about. It is French whiskey. You might be surprised to know that whiskey is the most popular spirit in France. It is the most consumed spirit. I'm talking spirits. That wine is consumed in larger amounts, but as far as spirits go, whiskey tops the list. And French people drink more whiskey per capita than any other country in the world. They drink about 2.2 liters per person per year, and that's compared to the States, where we drink about 1.1 liters. So they drink about twice as much per person per year. So those are some impressive numbers. So French whiskey is a relatively new thing, relatively, a few decades here now. So I'm really excited to dive a little bit deeper into it. So Thomas and I have come down to the Les Passerelles bar in the Hotel Perister. I've stopped in a couple times already, and he and I came down this summer where we tasted some whiskey flights, we had some French old fashions, and we got really excited about it. So now we're here talking to Lilia in the bar, and she's going to answer some of our questions and tell us a little bit more about this. So hi, Lilia. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for coming today. So my name is Lilia. I'm a head bartender here. And so Les Passerelles is a bar inside a hotel, as you say. And our specialty is the French whiskey. We got the biggest selection, I guess, in Paris and in the whole France. We've got about 120 different bottles of whiskey. And here we do, of course, cocktail with it, some flight, and we like to talk about it. Don't be afraid to push the door of the hotel because you'll see a beautiful things inside it.
Can you tell us a little bit about why you decided to focus on French whiskey here?
So we decided to focus on it because, as you say, in France, we really like whiskey. So we consumed last year 179 million bottles in France. So that's quite big. And when you go into a bar in Paris or in France, in other cities, you will find some Maker's Mark, Lagavulin, other brands, but it's really rare to find French whiskey. And no one is really about to talk about it. So we decided that this will be our specialty.
Well, we like it. We think it's a really good specialty. And you and I were talking about before, it's really interesting to see something fresh coming out of France and, you know, something new, interesting that's added to the whiskey world. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about French whiskey in general? I think we've talked about whether or not there's any defining characteristics. And I think maybe you can tell the listeners about the fact that there's so many different cereals that can be used and maybe some other things that really define it, the casks and that kind of thing. What do you think?
So, yes, in France, with the law, you were allowed to use different type of cereal, malted or not. You have to use a part of it which is malted. So you can use, of course, rye, you can use barley, of course, and also black wheat, for example, which gives a special taste. And we have to age it 3 years in a wood cask, but it could be a different wood. It doesn't have to be an oak, for example. And so in France, we do have a really big selection of old cask of wine. So the first specification of French whiskey, I would say, is that the distillery tried to age it in different types of barrel. So it gives a really different taste, like the one you tried.
So some of the different barrels, so it's different wine barrels. There's Sauternes, we were talking earlier about Jura wine barrels. What kind of things do the barrels that have been holding wine before, what do they add to the whiskey?
Well, there are different flavors. It could give dark chocolate, it could give apricot, it could give saltness as well, like Sauternes cask does. Mm-hmm. Also, we use old cask of different brandy, cognac, armagnac. So there is a lot to try.
I think when we were down here before, you were also talking to us a little bit about the idea of terroir. Does that come into play a lot with the French whiskies?
Yeah, there is some French distillery that they are trying to give us the terroir thing. For example, the Le Domaine des Hautes Glaces. Fred decided to grow his cereals, part of it, and to use barrel near the distillery to give a taste to what Les Alpes can give to the produce. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you were telling me before we started recording about distilleries here in France, that it's nice because they're still sort of small and you can really get in and talk to people. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that, just in terms of what to expect with French distilleries versus maybe something bigger in other countries?
Well, in small distillery, you can really talk to the head distiller, for example, or the responsible of the aging, for example, and you get to know lots of information about why he decided to do this. For example, La Distillerie Bertrand, who made the whiskey Uberach, so the guy behind it, Jean Metzger, if you talk with him, you'll understand why he decided the importance of the cask. So all of his whiskey are powerful impression of the cask.
So for people who maybe want to get out and explore some of these distilleries in France, is it easy to do? Should you call ahead? Are they welcoming to visitors? Or are they still a little bit too small that they're not really interested in having people come by?
They are really small, but you can call them, and I think with pleasure they will open the door and talk with you.
Great. Like I was saying, I'm planning on doing some distillery touring here in the near future around France. So when we came down here this summer, Thomas and I, we started with an old fashioned, and what I find is really fun and interesting here, the old fashioned obviously is such an iconic cocktail, but here they're making French old fashions. So they're using French whiskeys, and I think that's really cool. A couple of times I've had one with the hedgehog whiskey, which I really quite like. So do you want to tell us a little bit about some of the French old fashions that you can make here?
Yes, with pleasure. So the hedgehog whiskey, the specificity of it is that it's the only French based on corn, malted barley, and rye. It's aged in new wood from La Forêt de Troncet and a couple months more in a cognac cask. So it's much more drier than a usual bourbon, and it has more spices. So we decided to make an old-fashioned with it. And for the peel, we choose lemon peel, to give it more freshness, I'd say.
I do really like that whiskey. Like I said, I've had a few times. I've had the old fashioned with it. Is that something that's easy for people to find if they're here visiting Paris or they live in Paris? Where do they go to actually buy whiskeys like this?
Or maybe they just have to come here to taste it.
Yeah, they have to come here to taste it. But if you want to buy some, you will have to go in small cavist, liquor shop. There is some also in La Maison du Whisky, but not that much. Okay. Most of them are available in their region. Okay. Yeah.
So when we were down here before, we also did a really nice flight tasting. And just before I ask you to kind of talk about some of the whiskeys we had there, I know that we had some questions about the best way to taste whiskey. Can you give the listeners any advice on, if they're kind of new to the topic, how to come in to tasting whiskey?
The first thing I'd say is to enjoy it. So you take a sit, you take a good glass, like a glass of wine, to have the nose, and you start by nosing it. You need to take your time, to focus on it, and then you take your first sip, and you breathe just after that to have the, how is it called? You know, after...
The flavor, the... The aromas? Yes, but when you
breathe just after to have the other aromas. Well, I forgot the name in English. Okay. Doesn't matter. So, yeah, you just need to take your time and you can try to pair it with some food, some chocolate, some cheese. Cheese, we were talking about it. Cheese pairs good with the Jura cask, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right. I was just saying I like Jura wine with cheese, so I can see that that would be a really nice pairing, and I'll be talking to you more about that offline because I'm always very interested in pairing cheese with things besides wine. So I can see where that would be really interesting, and very, very interesting. So when we came down before, we did a trio, a flight of the Cornag, G. Miklo, mm-hmm. and then the Roselière. Yes. So can you maybe walk the listeners through those three, talking about what they're like and why they're good for a whiskey flight?
So yes, you started by Cornog. So Cornog is from La Distillerie Glenarmore, which is in Brittany. It's a couple who built the distillery, Martin and Jean Donnet, and they begin in 1997 by the Celtic Whiskey Company. So they used to import scotch and age it in France. Now they build a distillery, and what you need to remember about it is that it's the most Scottish-French distillery. So their cask storage is in the middle of the ocean, so it gives a lot of saltness to their whiskey. And they really like to distill whiskey with old cereal. For example, the Matisse barley, the Matisse Hauteur barley.
What is that barley? It's a particular type of barley. And when you say old, you mean it's barley that's been around for a very long time, or it's been stored for a long time?
No, it has been stored for a long time. So yes, Marie Sauter barley, that's an old cereal. They used to brew beers and make whiskey with it by the time. And you know, because of the yield, the cereal changed, the brand. Of
like the flavor of the cereal, or how, or the texture, or?
Well, this is their point. They wanted to give a new taste to the cereal and a new try to this kind of cereal.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great.
So yes, this is about Glenarmore, and they distill with two names. Glenarmore is the unpeated version, and Cornog is the peated version. And I think we tried a Sauternes cask from them. Was it?
So, yeah, that's
yeah?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
This is beautiful. This is on the apricot confit and this types of flavors. And you know, Glenarmore is one of the first who tried to age in a Sauterne barrel.
And the next one we tried was the G. Miklo. So will you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yes, so Miklo is in Alsace. Actually, he will be there the 8th of November at the bar if you want to meet him and try his whiskey. So Miklo does eau de vie. And the third generation decided to make a new thing because eau de vie is really, we don't consume that much eau de vie right now. So
I'm just going to remind listeners that eau de vie is any spirit that's distilled from fruit. So your brandies are eau de vie, you know, these Poire Williams. So just in case for those of you who aren't sure. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. Please continue.
So yeah, he started distilling whiskey in 2011, and so his specificity of his whiskey is that it's really gourmand.
So maybe like rich or like not savory, but is it heavy?
Yeah, it's a bit heavy, rich, and in the sweet side, I'd say. Yeah. in the sweet side. So what we tried was a Burgundy cask, I think, and Sauternes as well, and a finish in a sherry cask.
Exactly.
Not a cherry cask, but a sherry cask. So in eau de vie de cerise that he's making. So yeah, that's really rare. I never tried a whiskey like this before. Maybe you didn't as well.
No, was that the one that had like a little bit of the dried fruit flavor in it too afterwards? Or was that our last one? I remember something that had a really prevalent fruitiness to it, like a dried fruit.
Yeah, I think it was this one.
Yeah. And is there more that you want to tell us about the G. Miklo, or are you ready to move on to the third one?
We can move on to the third one, yeah.
As you like.
Okay. So, Roselier, Gralet du Pic. So, same as G. Miklo, they used to make brandies there. They start in 1860, so they were distilling by this time plum eau de vie. And in 1919, they decided, so Christophe du Pic decided to make whiskies. So here we tried a Porto cask, port cask, which is really interesting because it's really floral on the violet flavors and pastry as well, poire poché and this kind of flavors. So this whiskey was single cask as well.
Yeah, well, thank you for having walked us through that before and through the actual tasting earlier when we weren't recording. And I really do encourage the readers, if this sounds interesting to you, to come down and talk to the people behind the bar and kind of, you know, take a little deeper dive into the French whiskey, because it's been very interesting. Now, as I said before, French whiskey is relatively new. I think the distilleries were getting their starts in the 80s, basically. Is that right?
1987 for the first blend of Varenguem, which is in Brittany.
Why do you think it took them so long to decide to move into whiskey?
Well, that's an excellent question. So we started to import big quantity of whiskey by the end of the 19th century, when the phylloxera, which is a small parasite kind of bug, killed all our vineyard. So the Scottish have always been such wonderful producers of whiskey. So the U.S. are. And by the year 2000, a new wave of whiskey arrived. Of course, the Japanese. What a success. So I believe that story gives idea and hope to French producers that we can be part of the whiskey adventure.
So are there any particular areas that are more popular for making whiskey? For example, Brittany seems like it might be something that, you know, what with its kind of location and I don't know. Is there some place that you think that it's happening more often than others in France?
Yes, as you said, there is Brittany and there is Alsace as well. There's a lot of distillery in Alsace, 12 by now. But we are making whiskey in every region in France, even in Paris. Yeah. Mm.
That's exciting. I'll have to explore some local whiskeys here in Paris soon. Do you know how many, roughly, do you know how many distilleries there are in France?
60.
Okay. I can manage to work my way through 60, you know, in the near future. So do you have any thoughts? You know, we were talking about how popular whiskey is in France. Do you have any thoughts on why the French like whiskey so much?
As we say, we consume a lot of whiskey and we have a specific pool for aged spirits. I think the reason why we like so much whiskey, it's because it's part of our culture. So we drink whiskey before dinner, at aperitif, also after dinner as a digestive, and sometimes even with cigar, like with cognac or armagnac. In my family, my mother used to have one before lunch every weekend. That's a tradition, and it's also a moment to share together. And you know how important lunchtime and dinner time could be in France.
So when they're having this whiskey as their aperitif before a meal, are they having it straight? Are they having it with water? Are they having it on ice? What's kind of the standard way to do it here in France?
Straight or with ice. Okay. Yes.
And is that a generational thing? Like, is it more often older generations that are drinking more whiskey, or younger generations? Or do you see any sort of generational differences like that?
Well, it used to be older generation, but now I can say, because of the bar where I'm working, I can say that there's lots of young people who wants to try different whiskeys. Mm-hmm. Mm.
And speaking of that, you are also one of the people behind the site whiskeyfrancais.com. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about the inspiration behind that site, what you have on there, what they might be able to learn from the site?
Well, when we built this website, it was because we wanted to learn more about French whiskey and we couldn't find any information. So we decided to call or to knock the door of the different distilleries and to ask them more information. So you'll find lots of information about all the distilleries in France, and you will find also tasting notes, mm-hmm. personal tasting notes, yeah.
And also, speaking of tasting, I know that there are some opportunities for people to come here to the hotel for some different whiskey tastings. Why don't you tell the listeners what kind of things you do in terms of on-site tasting for the public?
So one Monday per month, we invite a distillery to talk about their product and to give you a tasting. So the next one, well, it's a Thursday and it's the 8th of November. And there is another one on a Monday, I think it's the 18th. Otherwise, you can come every Monday till Saturday at the bar, and I can choose some whiskey for you and give it to try, and we can talk about the distilleries and the way they make whiskey.
Are there any particular whiskeys that are sort of the biggest crowd pleasers, like the that are people's favorite one, that are ordered very regularly? So when people come in and say, oh, I'd like to taste some whiskey, is there one that really stands out that everybody says, that's my favorite one? Okay, so obviously, listeners, you're here because you love cocktails, not just whiskey. So Lilia, can you tell the listeners a little bit about what you might be doing with cocktails here in terms of whiskey?
Yes, for this menu, the winter menu, I decided to do classics. So it's a part of, there is two part of the cocktail menu. One part is classics revisited with the French whiskey. So you can find Morning Glory Fizz with the Pietra and Mavella whiskey, which is from Corsica. You can find, of course, the Hajok Fashion. And also you'll find a Daiquiri with the whiskey. The specificity of the whiskey we choose is Icann. It's Scotch imported in Martinique and aged in a rum cask from La Distillerie JM. Oh, okay. So this is why we decided to make a daiquiri with it.
Nice.
Yeah, and the other part of the cocktail list is about different creation.
Is there anything else that you think listeners might like to know about the bar, the location here, or the selection?
Well, everybody can come and try a whiskey or a cocktail. It's by the selection we have, we will find something for you. Don't be afraid to ask, to talk. Yeah, just push the door and come.
Do you see any difference between your clientele that comes in terms of French or non-French, and how they react to having such a large selection of French whiskey? Are the French more surprised or the non-French more surprised that exists?
They're all surprised. They're all surprised because the distillery doesn't communicate a lot about their product. Well, there is some, of course, but not all of them. So you don't know that there is this many distilleries. So there is a guy called Guillaume Ferroni, and he's going to make a really specific whiskey. So the first distillation will be in Brittany, and the second distillation for the same whiskey will be in Marseille.
Wow.
So, yes.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like there's lots of experimentation going on with the different cereals, the different casks for aging, and apparently the different locations.
Yes, there will be.
That's really interesting. Does he say why he thinks that it's advantage to distill in two different places?
I think he wants to have show that one distillery for the same juice can make really different flavors and yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
And also, I think he wants to try new things.
And, you know, I think some people have a question, and I'd like your professional opinion on whether or not it's good to add water to the whiskey while you're tasting it. Can you tell the listeners if that's a good thing or not a good thing to do while you're working through a whiskey flight?
Yes, it could be a good thing. It depends of your taste, actually. You know that distillery decided for you to add some water inside the whiskey. So when you have a whiskey bottle at 46% of alcohol, they already add water. So you just need to find the better for you. Mm-hmm. So you can add some, yes, if you want or not.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I know when we tasted our flight, one of the whiskeys that we tasted, I think, was a cask strength, wasn't it? Why is it that some of the distilleries like to release the bottles at cask strength? What does that add to the final product?
They want to have a powerful expression of what they can do. And, you know, it's something, of course, unique. Yeah. And they just let the time speaking. Mm-hmm. With the whiskey and the expression.
And when you're drinking whiskey yourself, what's your preferred way to be drinking it? In cocktails, straight? I'm sure it depends on lots of things, but share with the listeners a little bit about your personal take on how to imbibe whiskey.
I like to drink it straight, of course. Sometimes in cocktail, and I also do highball. So highball is a part of whiskey with a sparkling water. So for example, when I'm eating, a straight whiskey could be quite powerful, so I add some sparkling water in it. It's a Japanese way to drink whiskey.
I agree with you. I like a highball, and I don't think we see enough of those around anymore. I feel like it's a rarity, and I think that we should let's make an effort to bring back the highball. And I think that we've taken up enough of your time now, so I'm going to say thank you very much for speaking with us and sharing with the listeners a little bit of your a lot of your knowledge. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and see you around.
Yeah, and I do encourage you to definitely come down here. It's a very, very pretty bar. There's a great little hidden terrace if you're coming down in warmer months. And yeah, explore a little bit more. Otherwise, I'd say that's a wrap for this month's episode. If you're looking for more Cocktail Talk between shows, head over to the site, www.52martinis.com. If you'd like to carry me around in your pocket, you can download our iOS app. It's called Paris Cocktails, and it's a full guide to Paris cocktail bars, what I recommend, with lots of tips and information on what to drink there and other fun stuff. As always, thank you to today's guest. Thank you to the bar Les Passerelles and the Hotel Parister for having us down. Thank you to World Radio Paris, and especially Thomas for editing and production. And don't forget to listen to his podcast as well, called UniTalks. Thank you to Emily Dilling of Perry Paysan for doing the show notes and web assistance. She also has her own blog and podcast you can check out. Thank you to Sun Little for the music. We'll put up links to the different whiskeys we tasted and to the bar and various things that we've mentioned in the show notes. So check that out there. Of course, as usual, I remind you to please drink responsibly. And finally, just a reminder again that we really do appreciate getting the iTunes reviews. So it's really fun to do the podcast, but it's even funner when we know that people are listening and that you're appreciating it and that it's worthwhile for us to be doing it. So if you like what we're doing, please, please head over to iTunes and just drop a quick review saying good job or saying okay job, but we'd like more of this or that. We're open. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, cheers.